there. Welcome to another episode of Starry Sun Podcast, the only podcast dedicated to astronauts, all while rocking it on all the interdimension space traveling radars to empower creative musicians everywhere. I'm your host, Kiedre, and today I'm joined by Maz Hancock. But first, to become part of our interstellar presence, find us at StellarSoundPodcast.com, on all our social media platforms at StellarSoundPodcast, or join our astronauts in the Stellar Sound Community Discord server. Links are in the description. So today we see Maz Hancock, and they're an experimental music project, a collaboration between our two guests here. So Guada is from Lithuania, currently based in UK, and Maya from Hungary, who's currently in Australia. So have all come. How are you feeling today?
Great, thank you.
Yeah, good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're very happy to have navigated the time zone.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that was also quite difficult, I guess. What is the difference between you two? I think it should be like 10, 11 hours, no?
At the moment, it's 11 hours exactly.
Oh yeah, that's quite tough. Yeah, but maybe going to your project, so let's start from the beginning. I know that you two met in the UK and started playing together around 2 years later, right? Was your first meeting? Like, how did you meet? And also, when did you decide and how did you decide to play together?
So we met at university on our bachelor's course. Guada was, just incredible, basically. I think, everyone was very, very, very impressed by just what she was like as a person. She was designing her own instruments and building these really cool things. And I've always wanted to work with her from then on, I think.
In 2016, we decided to start Maz Hancock, I think. Yeah, no, not 2016. No, 2016, sorry. Okay. Yes. It was like a late 2016. And it was after, because while being in university, I got a chance to go to Japan for an exchange for 6 months. So when I got there, I got the chance to do this instrument that is like a combination of shamisen and cello. And then I managed to carve it and then send it to UK through Lithuania. It was the whole journey for the instrument itself. And then once it reached UK, I wanted to do something more with it, like perform with it. And I always loved Maya's vocals. And then I thought, I said, maybe we should do something together. So Maz Hancock started in uni. For our first concert was actually for, we had like this course sort of concert thing, like kind of a course gig. So it was our first improvised gig, and Maz Hancock actually started as improvisation based collective. And then we did that for like a couple of years. That was like we didn't do any recordings at all, and it was just me with the instrument and Maya with vocals, very like basic setup. But it was working for a while we were just doing live stuff, and it was fun. Yes. So that's how the start of it.
While we were in the same space, and then we kind of had to start recording things when we moved further away from each other, because we were like, oh wait, you can't play together if you're not together.
That does make sense. Actually, I did have one of the questions, like, why did you decide to finally record some of your music? Because I knew that you didn't play, like, you didn't record anything for a few years. So yeah. I guess that was when Corona started then, right?
Yeah. So basically, yeah. So because I moved to Glasgow, and then you were living in Brighton at the time. Brighton, so it was very difficult for us to do anything together. Mm-hmm. And when COVID started, we couldn't even meet up. So the first EP, Chaos, in 2000, actually. 2020, sorry, not since I was five, but in 2020.
2005. When we were 10.
Yes.
That would be very impressive.
Yes. So yeah, in 2020, our first EP. So yeah, we We recorded majority of it from like our bedroom. So I don't know, like in. So I did my part here, and then you did your part in Brighton, and we just had tried to put it together all in a computer for the first time, and it was, I think, mm-hmm. very big shift for us because it completely changed how we make music and how work like together. Actually our sound as well, and how we work together as well.
Very much. So.
Yeah, maybe how did you navigate through that? Because I can imagine that, like, since you improvised a lot, so it's much more difficult to do something like that online. How did you start, or how did you think that maybe we should do this online? Maybe we should kind of start sending recordings to each other to make it work?
In a way, we kind of improvised the process of it. We were kind of coming up with it as we went, didn't we? Like, instead of improvising whilst making music, we were improvising how to make music consistently. But we tried to, like, come up with song structures and then pass them back and forth to each other. But also, I think oftentimes it ended up being Guara actually also a lot of the time fixing things that I did, because my road went less into music production than hers, so her skill set is just like so high that oftentimes it was like her doing a lot of extra work on the things that I'd be coming up with as well. So I think she really deserves like a lot of credit there.
Thank you. But yeah, it's also, I mean, I think for both of us, especially with the first EP, when we had to do everything in like from distance, and I think we couldn't actually meet up, which was also quite sad because obviously we all lived through COVID and it was a difficult time. And I think we haven't actually, it was like a time before our first EP, it was that we had like a couple of years, I think, even break, because I did my master's and you were doing your stuff, mine, and it was kind of a few years break. And I think when COVID hit, it was kind of everything stopped, and it was like, we were like, oh, maybe we should do music together again somehow and try to find a way back. And then I think it was kind of going from there, trying to like, oh, look, I made like this little track, maybe try to put some vocals or stuff on it, and then you will do your thing and then pass it to me, and then I'll do my thing. And then fewer songs were not very great. Fewer, like, actually, it got better with time, I think, because before our first EP, we did like 3 songs before doing actual piece of work. And then I think it was sort of like slightly getting better. We slightly kind of got like a hang of how this could work. But it was very experimental, being like, oh, I just like did this. And then you being like, oh, I just did this. And then we like, yeah. So we're just like kind of combining everything, like trying to see what fits and what doesn't really, like what does stick, what doesn't stick. But yeah, it was, I think also very big change was that for me, it was because I always used that one instrument, and out of the sudden it was, because obviously in the box in the computer, there's like a whole world of any possible sound basically. So it shifted a lot from, because we started from very like pure sound, that not really affected, like vocals quite pure on the stage, just a bit of reverb. The instrument also, just a bit of a delay, very simple setup. And with our recording music, it suddenly became like what genre are we doing? Because it's like, we're now kind of electronic music, and then, but we used to be like this very, like nothing to do with electronic music, and it sort of changed a lot in that sense as well, because it just the medium changed so much that it completely changed our sound and how and the sound as well. So yeah, it would be interesting to see how we would perform live now after working from different cities for so long, because it would just also be completely different setup, because I don't think we could go back to improvising as we did, because that's not really what Mash Hangout is about anymore. Yeah, so yeah, it was kind of, I think it was just sort of with the Mash Hangout itself, like this project, I think really reflects how through years we like, even though living in different cities, we try to find ways to just work together, even though it's kind of like, and then the sound sort of changed according to the our lives, basically, where we're going and how. I think, I don't know, maybe you don't agree with me, Mai, I don't know.
No, but, I super agree. Yeah. I think it's like a little history or a diary or a friendship. It's really nice having, like, the opportunity to just actually listen to the evolution of our friendship through our music. It's nice.
Yes. So, yeah.
But, you know, you mentioned how you went from kind of more, like, pure sound to kind of electronic music. Have you ever tried like describing what you to describe to kind of put your music into one genre, or was it always like, you know, we're just doing what we're feeling and that's it basically?
It was more of a feeling, I think, for me at least. I don't know, what do you think, Maya?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, like, we've had to kind of come up with genres to, you know, in a way when you're writing things or when you're writing, I don't know, funding applications and stuff, like, they ask for your genre. So we've had to come up with it, but it's always been after we've already been making the music, we just go and listen to the music and be like, what is this? So it hasn't been like... And then, obviously, we started out, I guess, on, like, more of, like, the folky side of things, like, more of a world music, very natural sounds, into more of an ambient electronic, maybe slightly lo-fi, but still with a bit of folk. I don't, like, it's always one of those films where you kind of have to come up with the description or the category after the music's already made. It wasn't that we decided that we were going to go towards a certain genre. We're like, we're going for this sound.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, interestingly, that our, like, in the beginning, our, like, improvisational stuff was quite, like, it was very out there, and it was maybe less even musical than what we did with our latest EP, for example. Like, a lot less music, like, it's musical, but it's, like, it's very kind of experimental. But then we could fit quite well into, like, a genre of experimental music, of, like, experimental folk improvisation. It was kind of clear. But I think when we started working, like, this, like, in the computer, with the computer, and, like, going more electronic, towards the electronic side of it, I think it became kind of less and less clear of what genre it is. And I think, yeah, for us, it definitely was always, like, a feeling of how, of what we're doing, or, like, what are we feeling this, or are we not feeling this? And I think, yeah, I don't think there is, like, it's always difficult, as you said, Maya, to put, like, it into the genres, and then it kind of tries, like, if you even upload music to Spotify, it's just like, oh, what genre this is, and what kind of, like, we will put you in a certain box, or like, I don't know, interviews and stuff, I don't know, like, applications, it's always kind of like what box you are in, and we are always like, oh, we're just... doing each time we're just doing anything, just trying things out. But that's what I love also about this project, that we just try new things and see what sticks and what doesn't, and what works and what doesn't work anymore. So it's kind of and it just sort of evolves, like we said before, with the friendship as well. So yeah, it's in this genre itself also kind of evolves whilst we grow as well. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very interesting that you kind of develop both your friendship and your project together, and I guess you can also, like, even kind of map out the journey from the beginning to now and how it changed, and I think it's pretty impressive. But I guess when you started from improvisation, was it from the beginning that decided that you kind of want to improvise live? Because I feel like for a lot of people, especially when they start projects, they might be afraid to go just, like, completely improvisation just because they're afraid to fail, especially if they haven't played together for a long time. How was
we were
for you?
Young.
Were you afraid?
And brave.
That's great.
So, young and brave. We were young and stupid, I think. That's
Well, yeah, I mean, specifically, but, dumb.
Yeah, but I think Interesting. I don't think we were very particularly dumb, but I think what actually was happening was, for some reason, like, we really clicked in, like, when we had to, like, play. We, like, to be honest, we did not rehearse a lot before playing live. We did, like, a few, rehearsals, and we will be like, yeah, we will do something, we will figure it out. And we always did figure something out. And always
yeah,
kind
we
of...
Yeah, we come up with 15-minute sets. We'd be like, okay, we're going to do a 15-minute set, but we've only sat down together to play for half an hour before. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, a couple. We also done like a couple of days before, two days before and an hour a day before, and be like, just figure out the main thing was always to figure out the setup of what we're using and how to actually we're playing, and just basic sort of like a key how we're starting things, how we ending things, and then we just sort of, and I think because music making, I think. Is a bit more like friendship in the way that you're actually listening to each other and just seeing what others are doing. So I think it was quite natural at that point, just sort of like, oh, I'm listening what Maya is doing and Maya is listening what I'm doing. And it kind of felt like it didn't really, it was very obvious. I don't know, it was very obvious of how to play live and improvise. And I think, at least for me, it was very scary actually to start recording and put something like in print because I was not sure anymore how to do that in the same way, how to like listen of in the real time, how to listen to what Maya is doing and then how to respond in that way, because it was suddenly becoming very imprint, very like sort of permanent, and then it had to be, because I think in live improvisation a lot of like flukes and then a lot of like imperfections are a lot more tolerated, and it's I think our live performances are good to listen in while you are in a space, but to like actually record and listen to it back, it's a bit like, okay, like it's not really a song, it's just like a long improvisation of like things. So yeah,
it's like a conversation, it's like watching an interview on stage, but it's unedited, so it's like in person you don't really mind the ums and the ahs,
so it was, and it's again a bit a lot about the feeling and then just sort of just us having conversation via music. So it started like that, and it felt a lot less scary than actually doing a prepared set, because since now we released a lot of songs, like I think the idea of us performing live with those songs scares the shit out of me. Like, it was just like, oh my God, how? Like, there's so many elements now, and then you have to be perfect because people come with, like, this expectation of this particular thing, maybe, or this, and then...
So and how do we recreate it on stage?
It's like... And then, but then, like, I don't really want to recreate because, like, I like really like the aspect of like the live improvisation. So it's like very conflicting. And then, in some way, yeah, it's kind of like very not intuitive with us, because I think like usually musicians most of the time prefer to actually like record a song, perform it live, not to improvise. And we're just complete opposite. We're just like, please, can we improvise? no songs, no. So yeah. It's quite odd. Yeah.
I suppose it comes from us being at art school together. So we were kind of treating it less as music at the time, but more as like, we were treating it as music, but it didn't come from the music direction. It came from the semi-art school, semi-music school direction, and we worked on like collaborative projects before together, so we were already quite good at knowing how the other person works, so it kind of came as a natural next step, I guess.
While we were talking, like I thought, you know, when you have something recorded, it's easier to like send it to someone and be like, hey, invite us, this is what we do. How did you find your first places to perform? Like, how did you manage to get people who like invite you to perform? or were you the ones who were like, oh, we're very great, you know, can we come in and play at your place?
Good question, actually.
I think we were just very good at talking. I think you were particularly, Maya, good at talking. You'd be like, we're so good. And everyone would be like, yes.
Lisa, come to think of it, I think that's how we... Well, also, we ended up getting... Because our first performance was you managed to get a really good recording of it and edited it. So then after our first one, we already had something that was kind of like, look, this is what it is. I mean, it wasn't like a... but it was something to show people to go like, hey. It wasn't like a studio recording or anything, but it was representative of what we did, because it was kind of what we did.
Mm-hmm. And I think for gigs as well, it kind of worked well because it's already a recording of an live set. So it was sort of like, oh, we would like to play this. And then I think quite a few of the gigs after that was just like either saw the recording or the people were actually in a space and they were just like, oh, could you play there? So it was a bit, and then also I think every time we were playing somewhere, not every time, but quite a few times, it was like, we get like a recording after it. Like maybe it was like two more times after. So it was very useful in that sense that we were just, we didn't have to do any work, basically. We didn't have to record. We were just going to go and do live set. And then we will get the recording being like, great, let's go.
There's another one.
I think we got lucky in the way that the first performance was filmed and then it was filmed fairly well. And then we got the chance to get the video edited and use it, so I think that was really helpful in a way. And because we performed more in like artistic environments at the time rather than like in music scene, I think, because we both studied sound arts, and our undergrad was sound art and digital music, and I think we both at the time were a bit like, are we a sound artist or are we a musician? Sort of thing. So I think we kind of like walked a bit of a line there. So we performed a lot in like galleries and sound art events more than actual music venues. So also I think that's kind of
where all our contacts lied as well. We maybe only knew other people that were doing sound art events.
Yeah. So I think that also kind of was a different public, like with anything in the world that we are now with our music. I think that would be a bit more difficult to just go with like a improvised set. But there's still venues like that to do stuff. But you know, it's quite interesting that quite often with like with music, you would think like, oh, they will find the music and then you can perform. But then it's kind of odd, because with us sometimes it will be like just we be like in words we'll say we do this, and I'm not sure even if people always looked at the video they will be like, oh, that sounds cool, and they will just like come over, we'll see.
At the beginning I didn't know if you were more musicians or artists. Have you answered that question now? Like, would you maybe with your second album, would you say that is more like art, or is it that more music?
Definitely more music.
Music.
Yeah. I think we've been like very strongly headed towards the music area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Myself personally, I got quite disappointed by the world of sound arts. I don't know. I found it. It was just, let's just say, it was not for me personally. So I tried to find the way of making things more musical and technical rather than sound art and like concepts and whatever. Anyway, so I think with each of the Mashangok albums, I think And then with you as well, Maya, I think you kind of also slightly started to not like sound art so much after studying it. So I think both of us collectively.
It's the general of like moved. The art world.
I
find the pretentiousness exhausting, to be honest. No, yeah, maybe so that's I think it's a little bit too honest. Sorry.
pretentiousness of it. Yeah, it was a bit. I don't know. It was just kind of like, I think we were. Like it was always walked this line that was very difficult to navigate with, especially with our improvisation performances, that we were not a sound art, like we're not out there that much to be a sound art, and then we were not musical enough to be in music, so we were something stuck somewhere in between, being like, for sound artists we were too musical, for musicians, for like a musical world we were a bit like too out there, like what's going on here. So I think we just had to like at a certain point, especially with the recorded music, we had to like make the choice finally of like which direction we're leaping towards with a little more. So yeah, it just sort of, we decided to go music way just because I didn't see where we could go with the sound art one, and I didn't like, I don't know, it didn't felt right for me at least. And then yeah, and then we just. I think we just decided to go a bit. I think even we didn't really decide it. I think we just sort of.
It was went. Quite natural. It was. We both felt that it was more comfortable. Well, not more comfortable. More exciting and like, more inspiring to go like in the music way, because it was like, oh, there's so much to learn here, and there's so much information, and there's so much like actual, like I don't know, like get more stuff developed in a specific way, rather than more concepts to come up with. I think. We got less concept heavy, if that makes sense, and or maybe like you know, they're different in the concept way, like the concept would be there but it wouldn't be like everything, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, so yeah, we will still have like our both of our EPs, and they were still quite not conceptual, but they had some sort of concept, but like yeah, so but the whole idea of everything was not like a concept itself. We would usually think of what we wanted to say after we did it. So and we're like, oh, that's the unifying thing. So, where in sound art we would be like a bit more, yeah, just like this will be silent album, and we'll be like just 5 minutes of silence anyway, but yeah. So yeah, we definitely moved towards more of music side of things, and yeah, I think it was a good choice, or a good definitely.
You get the inspiration, I guess, from folk music. You mentioned quite a lot, you also mentioned one other artist. Is there anything else that inspires you? Maybe also like other musicians or certain styles, or maybe even like other forms of art, or could be anything.
My brain went completely blank, and then all I could come up with was nature. Nature inspires me. I was like,
what's
your
self? That is also.
I like leaves.
That's great. If it works, it works, right?
Yeah, to be honest, I think nature actually played quite, because we both really like nature. Maya more openly, I'm more reserved in my love to plants, but still very much present there. But yeah, I think. I'm not sure how it necessarily translates to the music, but somehow it does. But in terms of musical influences, I think we had like before each EP or each song, for each song we had like this playlist in Spotify. We would put up the playlist of what kind of direction we maybe want to go. And then it always was like from forted to some sort of weird opposite thing of fortet anyway. So it was like we got like I mean for different aspects we got like influence from different things, so drums and rhythms and a bit like of like overall flow. We I think we really liked of the Fortet, and it was quite a bit of Sunlux, like the ambient flow of Sunlux, the how Seb DeLisa is playing with lyrics and like with I think she's from not Syria. So she's like from Iran. She's from Iran. Yeah. So is that Iranian language or is it
Iranian?
Yes. Sorry, Iranian language. So she how she like plays with traditional music and
I don't know
contemporary stuff. Well, with the Iran folk music.
We love Seb DeLisa.
So that's, I think, so yeah, and then the kind of folk music, so Indra Yurgelevichute as well, kind of like was a lot in the mix, and then Agnes Obel as well, which is not even an electronic artist, but how she wrote lyrics and her voice, vocals and stuff. I think there was a lot of like combination of like folk music and like how the lyrics are written and how they are used, and then like the production side of things of how we like it to sit, and then it, and we will listen to the playlist and come up with something completely different, like not different, but like nothing would remind of those things. So because it's just like a combination of such a different. Yeah, kind of like a cocktail of music that it kind of became, like with all of those influences, we kind of made it our own thing. So yeah, there was like quite a lot of musicians that we were really interested in and still are, we still are, and I think we took a lot of influence from them.
Yeah, starting to think we should maybe put those playlists up somewhere because they were actually quite interesting in context.
Yeah, true.
Definitely could, just that would be interesting, I think, to hear, just like to see where your music comes from in a way, like, you know, how did you come up with the sound that you came up with?
Yeah. So yeah, with nature stuff, I think it was not as poetic. We didn't really like go in nature and create all the stuff, but I think it just sort of, because when we would record music, doesn't matter like if it's in Glasgow, in Brighton, like after, because like our first EP was fully from like a different cities, except one song. And then, but our second EP, that our latest EP, it was, we recorded it in half of it recorded in Brighton and half of it recorded in Glasgow. And then we would go for walks as like for breaks. And then we will get out to like nature and just sort of like, just recharge ourselves in that way. So I think nature played like not in a very literal part of being like, oh, the song is about this tree or anything like that. But like it kind of played a very vital part of us recharging and sort of, taking a break and thinking of what actually we did, and just sort of, just recharge basically. I think that's also quite important to note that it actually did influence us in some way, I think. Anyway.
Yeah.
So,
and I think our second EP was in general, like, it also felt like the whole writing process felt better for that. Like, we were already kind of on a journey of just like, having a bit more balance even with the writing process and with working on stuff, and I think you can, or at least maybe, I don't know if it's a personal relation to the process or if you can actually hear it in the difference, but I'd be interested to hear that, because I think it was definitely a certain amount of growth from our first EP to the second one, and that as well.
So since you already started talking about like about your second EP, so the first one you recorded kind of completely online from different cities, but the second one you're already working together. Maybe how did it feel to actually come back from working separately to playing together?
Good. No, so, genuinely, it was a very big, like, I think it felt like, you know, when you when you don't see a friend for a very long time, and then you feel like you just picked up the conversation at the same place where you left off, like, where it's like nothing happened, I don't think there was any struggle with coming back, other than I think we did procrastinate playing for a bit because we just had too much other things to catch up with. But other than that, it was, I personally found it very easy. I don't know how it was for you, Gordon.
Yeah, I think it was kind of interesting that when we meet up, we actually sort of got back to the way we did it from the we did it with the first performance and stuff, because all of the songs in the EP in the Contemporary Man was made that we actually sat down and we just sort of like put like a ticking track or like a bit of a beat, and then we just improvised for like 10 minutes, and then you would sing something, I would play. At that point, I would play guitar, I think, for Contemporary Man. I didn't use instrument as much, like the Japanese instrument as my main one. And then we will just sort of see what kind of, and then we will just take parts of it and then evolve it afterwards in the post-processing and then in our own bedrooms after that. But the whole core, we wanted to keep the whole core as we did in a very beginning, so just sort of like, as I said, sit down, improvise, and then put it into chunks. And it felt a lot more natural than our, because in the first EP, it was kind of, I felt it was a lot more forced, except from one song, which was called Eros. We did it, like, it was the last song from the Chaos EP, so from our first EP. And how we did it was the same way. So Maya, you came down for, I think it was my birthday. Anyway, but yeah, so you managed to come down for like, it was COVID times, but it was like in between. And then we re-recorded it 15 minutes before your train, because we had like 3 days, but then we procrastinated because we are like that. So we had like, oh, now you have 15 minutes before you have to leave for a train, and we haven't recorded anything. And then we sat down and re-recorded it in 10 minutes. Like, we haven't played together for years at that point. And we were just like, recording it 10 minutes, and we were like, yeah, and then we sat in this room, we recorded, yeah, and then we recorded it, and we were just like, looked at each other being like, that's good, that's pretty good, and then just went off, and it actually became one of the best songs from that album, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of, I think it was kind of a sign for us to sort of do that from that point. So I think the whole Contemporary Man evolved from that one song being like, let's just start each of these songs sitting in this room, in the room, and then we'll see where kind of like something will come out of it, like maybe some sort of a vocal lyrical hook, maybe some like guitar sound, and we can always like progress it and change it but into whatever ways we want. So that was how we started.
So much easier.
Yeah, and it was a lot more natural and a lot less forced. We still procrastinated a lot, but you know, it was
a little less,
and it was fun. So yeah.
Yeah, I think it also helps that we for the Brighton section of it, we didn't record in my apartment where we can procrastinate infinite amount. We had the studio at the university that we met at, actually. They let us use it for a couple of days. So it was kind of like a nice little full circle thing where we were like, oh, we're going to record in the studio that we used to. I don't know, work on group projects together. It was quite fun.
Yeah.
Actually, it was much easier recording in Gordon's home studio, which Gordon knows really well and I'm very comfortable in. And it was actually quite hard recording in the very well-supplied studio in comparison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think it's quite interesting because when we were in university, it always felt like, oh, if we only could have like all this equipment and always have like this access to the studios and everything. I mean, we had like access, but like sort of have these studios for ourselves fully. But in reality, like all the gear that sits in the studio there, it just distracts you and it makes it, everything so much more difficult because it takes like mm-hmm. a day just to like figure out your way around it. So I think in Brighton was a lot like, oh, like, where is this? Like, how to even like plug in the guitar because of, like the mixing desk and how everything is rooted. And it was a lot more frustration where in my home studio is a lot like, it's very clear. Everything goes here, like, and then we can record it and everything is in good quality. So it was a lot less frustration and a lot less kind of like, because I think we procrastinated a lot in Brighton as well, just because it was like quite difficult to get everything working. And it was a bit of like, it's like that, not saying, but it's sort of this thing with like, if you put a guitar in a case, you will never play it. But if it's always like on the side, like plugged in, you will always kind of practice it. So I think it was a kind of similar mm-hmm. thing. It was just sort of very difficult to just start doing stuff, even though it's like the really well supplied studio. So,
we messed about with signal flows for a very long time.
So we recorded it in studios and kind of took it from there. To be honest, like the recording process, like it took 1 week, 4 days in Brighton, I think a few days in Glasgow, but then combining everything and then making them into the songs, it took us like a few months, obviously like kind of dancing around our work schedules and everything, but it was a lot more, time consuming rather than, I think if we would be in the same space, it would take a lot less time just because I think we kind of bounce off each other a lot more when it's not a computer mm-hmm. screen. So, yeah.
And Gwede, did you use any of your own instruments for this Contemporary Man album?
I did use the same shamisen and cello hybrid in One Pixel. Well, not. I forgot the title of the song.
One Pixel on the Screen?
One Pixel on the Screen. Like One Pixel. So I did use shamisen on that one, like a bow textures. Thinking what else? Yeah, I think I only used that instrument and then just sort of a lot of, I think it was a lot of guitar based. And then, I mean, I mm-hmm. did, I used also a bass guitar that, I used a bass guitar that I, borrowed from a friend and it was broken and I fixed it and modified it with these like Soviet capacitors, like very old bulky capacitors, and then I used that bass in majority of the songs as well, but it's not really like and then also you used a modified cassette tape recorder as well that you just sort of varies the speed and samples to sample and resample Maya's vocals as well to sort of give it a bit of a wonky feeling anyway, but it was kind of so I did play around with things that I modified or, but it was not like the purely something I made from scratch. It was, I think it was just only the sham, and it was not as present as in our beginning, but I think it's okay because I think it kind of also evolved through time that we just sort of, it still comes back as a texture or, but it's not anymore a main element of our compositions because otherwise it would be quite
samey.
I think it will get boring after a while, so I think it was kind of good that we kind of just use it as a motive from time to time.
Didn't you use your modular synth that you built, or did you build that afterwards? My timeline is.
Think I haven't used it at that point. I think I was on the process of building it, at that
yeah,
time.
Yeah, you were in, unfortunately. In the middle of building it.
Unfortunately.
It's now incredible.
I could show off my mom. No, we could lie and say that we use and just show it off.
Yeah, it's so
modular. Used everything that we had.
Yeah, we used everything that is in this room, when in reality we just used, you know, a vocal and a guitar, being like, "Yeah," we show up on it. No, but yeah, it was actually, yeah, I was still building at the time, so, I think it kind of, because we went to more of a musical side of things, I think it kind of, part of me that experiments and does like all the weird instruments, it's still very much there. But I think it kind of became a bit more conscious of how I use these things. Like, I didn't want to use an instrument just because I made it. Like, I didn't want to, like, I was kind of like, oh, if, would this make sense? Because I think at the start of the whole, of our journey, I think, for me, it was a bit like, oh, I want to make it, like, I will want to use only things that I made and then be like, oh, like, I don't know, just like, I made this instrument and I will just use this instrument now. And then, like, I made this, like, I modified and completely remade the synth and I want to use just only the synth. But I think more and more we work together, for me, it made more sense to just actually use things that work and then, like, work well and how I want them to work and what would complement Maya's voice is not to overcrowd things and not to complicate the composition. And just for the sake of saying that, oh, we only use handmade instruments and stuff. So I think that kind of, yeah, that as I said, that part of me is still very much present, but it's not as big anymore just because I think we kind of evolved more. With the whole project.
And Maya, for the vocals, like in the first album, you used Hungarian language most of the time, right? In Contemporary Man, you kind of switch between English and Hungarian, but also there's one part in One Pixel on the Screen that I really love, where you go from like singing very loudly to whispering. So you do play quite a bit with both languages and your voice. And I guess I was just wondering, like, how does it work for you? How do you kind of make a conscious decision to do the switch? Or is it more like, you know, now I'm feeling like I should sing in Hungarian, but this phrase sounds better in English, so I'm going to do that in English?
I think it's in a way, sometimes it's like a certain tune or something will just lend itself better to the other language, like even certain techniques or like styles of singing just sound better in the other one. So it's often just a playing around in a way, just like trying to figure out which one works best, and then also having kind of the two languages converse with each other in a way. Just like I've started to like the concept of few people understanding the entire song, which is, I mean, it's actually not that few people that speak both Hungarian and English. I'm sure there's actually quite a lot, but it's kind of a little bit of an Easter egg hunt, I guess. But I think I've also started, experimenting more with vocal techniques and just learning how to use mics better, I suppose, a little bit. I don't know if that answers your question, but yeah, I think it's more of a process thing. Like, I don't sit down and go, okay, I'm going to say these things in Hungarian and these things in English. And oftentimes with the writing, I'll just like have some bits and bobs written down in both languages from the previous week, or I'll just come prepared with like a little book of bits, and then, but none of it will just be like a full strong song structure. It'll be like a full, I guess, poem lyric. Some of them have been a much more kind of like purposeful kind of rhythmic circle. Like, for example, Eros, I guess, that was kind of one piece that when we recorded it, it was already, it was the way that I wrote it down when I first thought of it was pretty much the way that we released it. It was just straight up that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's much rarer than the other way around, especially because when Quarter then starts working with it, she'll often, like, sometimes we'll record something that'll be, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. And then there'll be sections that take out, and then that might need rewriting, for example, because the structure's changed, or we feel like, you know, it sounds better. Mm-hmm. You know, you shorten down a whole thing. So there's often like multiple iterations of even changing the language from one to the other. There's been a song that I've tried to write in both languages and have the translation, and then I think we just went with one of them, or just then sometimes used elements of the other language's translation in it, but actually tried to do the whole thing for mm-hmm. both. It changes with every kind of situation, which is fun. It's a lot
yeah.
to play with. I want to learn more languages fluently, so there's more to play with. Question.
So maybe like the last question about your Contemporary Man album. Which song do you like the most, or which part of the song maybe you're most proud of?
It's like choosing from one of your children. Like, which one is your favorite?
I know.
And you're like, oh my god, I know which one is my favorite, but how do I tell them?
Well, so I'm not sure if your songs have feelings, but yeah, try not to hurt them too much.
I have this problem where sometimes I can only remember the titles of the songs that we used whilst writing for them, because we wrote the titles mm-hmm. afterwards. But and one of the songs is like the beginning section that just goes like, there is a strawberry there's a strawberry field east of our childhood house.
Yeah.
And I really like that because I think it's maybe my favorite because I don't know anyone who lives near a strawberry field. And it just was like, I just felt like it kind of came in a weird little dream, and I'm like, okay, well, who lives near a strawberry field? I need to find them, one, and two, it kind of just came just because mm-hmm. it worked really nicely with that rhythm, so it holds a nice place in my heart because it's like, cool, strawberry. I wonder who lives the east of a strawberry field. And really will relate to this, who is really not someone that I am. Mm.
Nice. Yeah, to be honest, like, it's, I think each of the songs have some sort of moment that I like enjoyed the most of, like, out of the, like, whilst making them. But the first thing, like, instantly that popped in my mind when you asked this question was in One Pixel on the Screen, there's like this one moment, like, when so it's like a kind of a break, and then a kind of guitar comes in, and it's like a vocal kind of whispery, and then it's like a bit of a break, and I think it's like that section for me, like, when we made it, I was a bit like, ooh, so nice. and then it's like my happy memory in life as well, just sort of like that section of the song, just being like that, just like that like vocals whispering, a bit of a tiny break, and like the guitar kicks in, and it just sort of I'm very proud for that particular part.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, like, the whole album, I'm quite proud of how far we've come with, like, the techniques of, like, the production techniques, and the way we write songs, and then the way, like, the lyrics, and then how everything sounds, and then how, like, I don't know, like, the first group of the songs that actually felt more positive than negative. So for us, it's a big deal, I think, Mary. Mm-hmm. We tried mm-hmm. to do that, and then
in
the beginning
deal.
We failed, because we were like, we will do this, like, very positive music now, and then we the first like few songs we were was like as like it was like, oh, they are quite nice, but they're so depressing. This is not a positive vibe to start with.
Yeah.
So I think it was very kind of out of our comfort zone to actually do something not dreadful with them, but like not sad in the world. And because there was like and then one of the reasons why we decided to do it, because we're like, when we wrote the Chaos album, it was, we had a difficulty to get it on radios because they were like, we like this, but it's too sad to play on radio. And we were like, okay, oh well. So they're like, okay, we have to make more positive music now because we can't get any radio plays. So, yeah.
No, exactly. Mm-hmm. I think you can only write songs like that once people already know you, so you can get it into the scenes of like of TV shows and films when the bad things are happening. But for that, you already have to have a name.
Yes. Maybe someday. Yeah.
Maybe someday.
So yeah. So that I went way over the question, but yeah. So yeah, for me that was from One Piece on the Screen. That was a bit. So yeah. The first and the last
that section was a really good one from you, so.
And maybe just the last question for the audience. Are you working on anything right now? And are you planning like to release a third album?
So while I'm in Australia, we decided that we're going to just take a little bit of, because this is actually maybe too far of a distance for us to reach even. But I'd really like to start working on something again, because I'm already feeling a little bit like itchy. Like, it's only been a few months of not doing any work with Guara, and I'm like, I'm missing it a lot. So
And I think the creative work as well, it's kind of like, it's quite nice when it comes in waves. So we don't have anything planned at the moment. So this year we'll probably maybe at the end of the year will be a song or something, I don't know. But I think what, because now is a lot of pressure, like I think the, like these, like when the, with the internet and everything, it's quite a lot of pressure of like putting new stuff out constantly and being like just being sort of like a machine, just like producing content, producing music, producing and putting everything out. And I think, and it's quite a lot of pressure to feel quite often, but at the same time I think we realize that we have to, like, because otherwise we will burn out instantly, so we kind of do something, and then it kind of, we have to like recharge, relax, and then just decide what we actually want to do. And it's like music, as like we said, it's like a friendship, so we just sort of like, you have to, like, if you always just hang out with the friend, you probably have to like be like, you know what, I love you, but piss off now. But once you like meet up once in a while, it's very nice and great things happen. So I think it's sort of similar. It's now kind of like in between space where we experience new things, see new things, like kind of grow individually, and then we will meet again, and hopefully something new will happen.
Mm-hmm.
New children will be born.
Yeah,
yes. Yeah, I think we'll be waiting for it.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Guara and Maya, thank you for joining me today at the Stellar Sound Podcast. But before we go, I also want to give you an opportunity to shout out if you have like any social media platforms or any other projects, you can quickly mention them now.
I think we're Mash Hanguk everywhere. Like the Insta handle is Mash Hanguk, MASHANGUK. And we're on Facebook. But we don't post very often now because we're on the little
and pager. We also have
and Spotify
and we also have a website that we built as part of our latest EP, our latest mini album, where you can play with one of the songs Glasshouse in real time, and then sort of just become part of Mash Hanguk, basically at mashhanguk.co.uk.
Yes.
I've tried it. Yeah, it's pretty fun. So like if people have time, it's really nice. It just like you feel like you're also a bit of a part of the creation of that song. Yeah. So yeah, for everyone, then remember to follow us also in the Stellar Sound Discord community, or head over to Instagram for the latest Stellar updates. And yeah, thank you from me and also Mesh Hangog, Gwadan Maya. We want to just thank you for joining us here at the Stellar Sound Podcast. But the countdown has begun and it's time to blast off into the stellar sphere. Remember to empower creative musicians everywhere, and we'll meet you again at the next Stellarmageddon.